It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. And for the rest of the program, we're going to be talking about one of President Donald Trump's favorite words, tariffs. During his first term, the administration imposed tariffs on a variety of goods, including foreign-made solar panels and washing machines, steel and aluminum, and goods coming from China, which includes a wide variety of products. In response, China imposed its own tariffs targeting U.S. agriculture commodities. It's worth noting that President Biden maintained a significant part of that policy. Steel and aluminum tariffs were renegotiated with Europe and Japan, but tariffs on Chinese goods were kept largely intact. Former President Biden also extended the tariffs on foreign-made solar panels. But now, with Trump back in office, conversations on tariffs are prominent again. The president has already gone back and forth with tariffs on Mexico and Canada, as well as China. As of Monday morning, there are currently tariffs in effect on all Chinese imports, and a worldwide tariff on steel and aluminum is set to take effect on Wednesday. With that in mind, for the rest of the hour today, we're going to be talking about the effect tariffs could have on the all-important agriculture sector in particular. Joining us now to talk more about this is Peter Orizem, Professor Emeritus of Economics at Iowa State University. Peter, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Well, thanks for having me.
Also with us is Alvin Jones. He goes by AJ. He's a general assignment reporter at WCMU Public Media in Central Michigan. AJ, welcome to you as well.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And Brian Duncan is president of the Illinois Farm Bureau. Brian, welcome back to you as well.
Hey, good morning, Brian. Thanks for having me on.
800-222-9455 if you want to join us today. 800-222-9455. All right, Brian, I'm going to start with a fellow Brian, as I like to do. And also because you're a farmer, how have you been feeling with the threats and effects, I guess, of these tariffs so far?
Well, Brian, I mean, it's feelings can change pretty quickly from one day to the next in this environment. And so I think it's important that we just keep our eye on the ball, and that ball is the importance of trade for farmers, particularly Illinois farmers. And economically, how significant that is of the export market, because we certainly know we can outproduce what we can consume here domestically.
What have you been hearing from other farmers about how worried or not worried they are about this?
Again, I think that's somewhat of a mix. But I think, again, all farmers know how important trade is. And I think what we've been hearing is let's build on current trade deals. Let's defend the ones we have. Let's get new trade deals and expand access to markets. I mean, I have been reminded by several farmers of the investment farmers themselves have made through the checkoff programs, money deducted from the sale of our commodities, that to go to fund development of new markets, of foreign markets for U.S. goods. And so I have had several farmers remind me of the skin in the game that we have as individuals towards these markets that we've worked so hard to develop and grow.
Peter Orizem, I want to bring you into the conversation now. Tariffs have become a household term again during the Trump administration's, plural now. Ultimately, it's really nothing new for the U.S., though. Say more about that, the history of tariffs here.
Well, I think in the case of agriculture, since that's one of the sectors that we are particularly good at producing and are very active in the international markets, about half of our exports are with countries for which we have free trade agreements. So it's not the case that tariffs have been part of the agricultural trade scenario for the past many years. It's only relatively recently with the first Trump administration that particularly retaliatory tariffs have changed who we do trade with. China was our biggest market. It's now our third largest market. Mexico is our largest market only recently. Canada is number two, and Europe is number four. If you think of your customer is always right is a pretty good adage to maintain when you're selling things. Currently, the current conversation where we have rather testy relationships with some of our biggest customers is not helping agriculture.
All right, we need to take a break in about 90 seconds here. But AJ, I want to bring you in briefly before that to set up another part of our conversation, which is going to be on potash, Canadian potash in particular. And maybe you can just set a baseline of what is it? What is its significance to this conversation?
So potash is a group of minerals that are a key component in fertilizer. It's one of the major ingredients used in fertilizer for food all across the country. You need it to grow crops. It's rich in potassium, so you use it to grow things like soybeans, alfalfa, a lot of other fruits and vegetables. The thing is, Canada produces around a third of the global supply of potash, and we import about 90% of our potash from Canada. We here in America don't really produce much of our own, and the only other major supplier that has more than a 10% share is Russia and Belarus, and for obvious reasons, those countries aren't the most reliable of partners. So potash is pretty crucial to the ag sector.
All right, that is a good setup. We are going to continue this conversation on the other side of a break. If you want to join us, we are talking about President Trump's appreciation for, infatuation with tariffs, and how that could affect downstream the agriculture industry here in America, and especially in Illinois. 800-222-9455 if you want to join us today. What do you think of the president's tariffs? Are you already seeing it affect your finances, potentially? 800-222-9455. More to come. This is The 21st Show. This is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and today we are talking about the latest tariffs that have been imposed by the second Trump administration and how they could or might not affect Illinois. We are talking about this with Alvin Jones, a general assignment reporter at WCMU Public Media in Central Michigan, Brian Duncan, the president of the Illinois Farm Bureau, and Peter Orizim, professor emeritus of economics at Iowa State University. 800-222-9455 is the number. That's 800-222-9455. All right, Brian, before the break, you talked about all the investment that American farmers, Illinois farmers, have made in developing these foreign markets. 1 week ago, right about this time of day, President Trump posted on his social media site to the great farmers of the United States, get ready to start making a lot of agricultural products to be sold inside of the United States. Tariffs will go on external product on April 2nd. Have fun, he said. I wonder, what do you make of that?
sometimes it's kind of hard to connect those dots. Here's what we know. Illinois this last year exported nearly $14 billion worth of goods, agricultural goods. And exports account for, roughly on my farm, I would say, a third of my net farm income. I mean, we grow corn, soybeans, raise hogs and cattle. In northern Illinois or in southern Illinois, it's going to be hard to grow avocados or grow some of those things that we may not be importing. And so I think that's a real challenge for us. Certainly, we know that there's potential for demand increase for biofuels and next generation biofuels. But I say farmers are definitely concerned on what that future looks like without those export markets that have become so valuable, especially Mexico and Canada, especially Mexico for corn and pork. If they go away in a trade war, if there's retaliation taken against U.S. agricultural products that make our products uncompetitively priced, It's raised a lot of eyebrows, I'd say, for farmers. Okay, what's then what? And how do we, what do we do to mitigate that economic impact?
All right, AJ, I want to come back to you on this question of potash that we were talking about before the break. So talk about, a potential retaliatory tariff there, I guess, how that could trickle down to, to the entire ag industry if this does become sort of one of the main fronts of a trade war.
Yeah, so I had a conversation with Bob Thompson. He's the president of our farmers union up here in Michigan. And what he told me is that a lot of his members are staring off uncertainty. That was the word he used. And really in any sector in the economy, uncertainty makes further planning a bit more difficult. If you're a farmer, especially like a small operation, you're already working with profit margins that maybe aren't that high. At least up here in Michigan, farm income has been sort of flat, in decline a little bit. So that might hurt your bottom line quite a bit if this becomes a very drawn out process. Because what ends up happening is potash, that's another input cost if you have an aggressive tariff put on that product from Canada. So now you have to, it becomes a question of, well, what does your bottom line end up looking like? For what it's worth, for consumers, you mentioned trickling down. I talked to a professor up here of agriculture at Michigan State, and he told me that a lot of the cost on the consumer side is really wrapped up in things like shipping and handling, for example. So you would notice a cost bump, but it wouldn't be like a price spike. I think the people that would be hurt the most by a potential trade war over potash are people in agribusiness, and especially the sort of mom and pop, smaller farming operations that aren't owned by larger corporations.
Fascinating. And Peter Orizem, can you talk about, what both Brian and AJ have talked about in terms of, you know, it's this uncertainty that's out there, right? What effect does that play on this industry?
Well, I think if you look at sort of the give and take, it seems like we are changing our trade policy from one day to the next, right? Tariffs are on, tariffs are off. They're going to be delayed by a month. Are they going to be delayed by a month again? All of that is going to make things particularly challenging. And if you're thinking of the Midwest agricultural scenario, where we're not sure if retaliatory tariffs are going to be directed at the things that we are producing, they certainly have been in the past. That makes it extremely hard to figure out. Half of our soybean production in the Midwest is exported. If we have retaliatory tariffs on soybeans, does that mean that you're going to want to produce more corn? Well, 10 to 20% of our corn is exported. So the uncertainty makes it extremely challenging if you don't know what market you're going to be selling into.
And this is not a decision that, I mean, farmers, I presume, have already sort of made the decisions about what's going in the ground this year. Brian, can you speak to that?
Yeah, I would say rotations have been mostly set. There might be a little flexibility to swivel between corn and soybeans, but, you know, I would say the decisions have been made. Brian, what this impacts also, as you look at uncertainty, farmers pour a lot of cement. We make a lot of long-term investments in our businesses. As we buy machinery or build facilities for livestock and grain, and this could have a trickle-down effect on some of those businesses that supply those projects, because I think farmers right now will be very hesitant, based on their economic conditions and based on uncertainty, to step forward and make big investment in bricks and mortar at this time, let alone, you know, the increased costs that those investments could experience because of tariffs on the products coming into the country.
Yeah, right. Like implements and that sort of thing. All right, let's go to the Let's go to the phones at 800-222-9455. We have another Brian on the line. This one from McLean County. Brian, thank you for calling in.
Well, thanks for having this discussion. I'm a farmer from McLean County, and tariffs. You just had a previous piece on the Weather Service and the USDA cuts. The tariffs in particular for fertilizer, but for my soybeans and corn, we built these markets over four. I've farmed for 45 years over that. And we built these markets. I paid checkoff dollars in. I paid Farm Bureau, Soybean Association, and Corn Growers dues. Followed the markets, wrote letters every time there was a tariff going on in my history of my farming career. And I just think that we've got boards of directors that think that this administration can do anything they want to, and they'll look the other way. And I'm getting tired of it, and it's time to defend our constituents, that our farmers. We might be very small, but we're the first target, and we're the first to go into a recession when these things happen. And the silence by the Farm Bureau, Corn Growers, and Soybean Association is just deafening. So I'm fed up. I'm considering just checking out of this. So thanks for bringing up the this topic. It's very important to all of us.
Yeah, Brian, can I ask you, because, I mean, this is something you do hear a lot, and I think we've talked about it in different contexts on the show, is that, you know, people in the more rural parts of Illinois do tend to have supported President Trump in the past. I wonder what you hear when you talk to your fellow farmers out there in McLean County.
They didn't think it was going to happen to them. And, that was pretty much, the writing was on the wall. I was against the Biden administration for continuing these tariffs. It's ridiculous. We need to, we have to build on our trade relations. This does not do it, especially with Canada and Mexico. These are ridiculous. They're our best allies.
Brian, so, thank you so much.
It's affecting a lot of our fellow farmers. Listen, we've lost, just since this talk happened, we've lost almost 75 cents on beans, another 30 on corn. Unless we get a weather scare, things are going to get rough.
Brian, thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate it. I'm going to turn now to Brian Duncan, president of the Illinois Farm Bureau. What do you say to what Brian from McLean County had to say there?
Well, I mean, I appreciate his support over the years. And as I was in Washington, D.C. last week, met with congressional representatives and was far from silent on the importance of trade and what it means to us and anything that would jeopardize trade. And we've been far from silent throughout the Biden administration on the lack of new trade agreements. And we urged President Trump last week to follow and abide by the USMCA, which we were very supportive of. Illinois Farm Bureau supports by policy a rules-based approach to trade. And so we have been very specific in our concerns about anything that violates that approach. This is a very fast-moving, though, situation. Tariffs are on one day and they're off the next. And so what we are doing is continuing to educate our elected officials, including Secretary Rollins, about what trade means for agriculture, for Illinois agriculture, and what putting that at risk also may mean for Illinois agriculture.
You know, this is so much an executive branch discussion so far, but you did mention speaking with members of Congress. AJ, I wonder, getting back to potash and that part of the conversation, have you heard anything from lawmakers who might be trying to prevent that from being tariffed?
So what's interesting about this is that this conversation seems to sort of break the partisan dynamic. Back in February, Chuck Grassley, Republican senior senator from Iowa, posted on X that, you know, and I'm quoting him, "I plead with President Trump to exempt potash from the tariff because family farmers get most of our potash from Canada." As I'm sure you all know, Grassley represents a lot of ag interests over in Iowa. And to that end, the administration last week lowered the tariff on potash from the 25%, the blanket tariff we had on everything in Canada. When the Trump administration sort of reversed course on a lot of those, potash was one of the tariffs that was lowered. The current rate is 10% from 25%. You mentioned, Brian, the Ag Secretary, Brooke Rollins, she called it, quote, "a smart strategic move to keep trade negotiations on course," end quote. So there seems to be some level of, I guess, pushback from Republicans that's been sort of directed at the administration. And the administration seems to understand that potash is so important that including it in the 25% blanket tariff would have increased a lot of input costs for small farmers. As we've talked about, the situation is very fluid with the President of the United States and now Canada yesterday having elected their new prime minister. Things are sort of changing from day to day on what is tariffed, what isn't tariffed. So it's very wait and see. We might be in a situation where Carney, the new prime minister, and Trump can come to an agreement, or we might be sort of seeing this continue to go down the road. But for what it's worth, there is a segment of people on the right who probably voted for and supported Trump who feel a little uneasy about the prospect of tariffs on potash.
All right. We're coming to the end of our time together. Just about a minute left. Peter Orizem, I'm going to ask you, the Trump administration says short-term pain is going to lead to long-term prosperity. What do you think of that argument in the context of what we've been talking about?
Well, I in some ways, it seems that it's a little bit flip, right? Because, for example, I think the Trump administration understands that tariffs will not be good for farmers. In their last administration, they ended up transferring $16 billion for two years to the ag sector to try to ease some of the pain of the tariffs, and it didn't quite ease all of it. The current comment that American farmers ought to have fun, it seems to me, I think that's a very poor way of trying to tell the farmers that you're going to be bearing this one on your own. It's hard for me to believe that there's going to be a long-term benefit to agriculture from these short-term tariff policies, if indeed they are short-term. As mentioned, the Biden administration kept on most of the previous Trump tariffs during their administration.
Well, this is another story that is going to continue to evolve and develop. We will continue following it. Thank you to Peter Orizem, Professor Emeritus of Economics at Iowa State University. Alvin Jones, AJ, who General Assignment Reporter at WCMU Public Media in Central Michigan, and Brian Duncan, President of the Illinois Farm Bureau. That is all the time we have for the 21st show today. Our program is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thank you for listening, and we will talk with you again tomorrow.